Chapter 1. Leaving. The softness of his pillow held Kyle to his bed. Faded sounds of dogs barking kept him there. Drool stuck to his hand as he pulled it over his mouth and face.
"I'm not going,"
he muttered to himself, pulling the covers over his head. Kyle faded in and out of sleep. Muffled sounds could be heard nearby. A feeling of smoothness slid over his face.
"Tingy, get out," he said.
Kyle was too tired and too grumpy to play with the cat.
"Kyle, it's past 8. We have to get packed," came his mother's voice.
"I do not want to go," he insisted.
"You'll like it," she said.
"No, I won't. Why do we have to go?
I'll hate it. I know I will," Kyle said.
"You will not. You'll see," she said, trying to get him out of bed.
Kyle continued to protest. His mother told him again that it was time to get up.
"Just because you lived in India doesn't mean that I will like it. I'll stay with Aunt Kate instead," he said.
"You'll miss me after a couple of weeks," his mother assured him.
"I don't know anyone there. All of my friends are here."
Kyle knew his arguments wouldn't change anything, but that wasn't going to stop him from voicing his opinion. All the goodbyes had already been said over the past few days. Giving up his way of life in suburban San Francisco was not going to be easy. Perry, Mark, and Joy had been Kyle's friends for 7 years, since he was 5. Now he had to leave them all behind. Looking out of his upstairs window, Kyle could see the smoke rising from the chimney of Perry's home only 5 houses away. He pushed the window open. Tingy jumped up on the sill. Cool air rushed in. Fighting back a tear, Kyle yelled,
"Tingy, you'll fall and die.
Just like me, if I leave this place."
He abruptly pulled the window closed. Tingy's tail curled snugly around Kyle's ankle, but slid away as Kyle ran out and bounded down the stairs.
"We'll be leaving soon," his mother said.
Kyle's mother, Marge, was a tall, slender woman of 43 and a well-established lawyer. She had made a lot of sacrifices in the past and was about to make some again. She told Kyle that there was a better opportunity for her if they moved, and that they would have a new start that could be better for him as well. She also told Kyle that India was a place of many mysteries, and pointed out that he had always been interested in those kinds of things. And besides, now he would meet his Aunt Jen and Uncle Bill, whom he had heard so much about. Kyle quickly ate his breakfast. His mind wandered to his dad. Kyle wished that he were here to stop his mother from this strange idea of moving away. Kyle had seen all the pictures and heard all the stories. He lost his father to an accidental drowning in 1986, just 3 years earlier.
"I miss you, Dad. Why did you die?" he thought, feeling a little sorry for himself.
"Got your camera?"
Marge called to him. Looking around the mostly empty home with deep regret and reluctance, Kyle held on to his mother. Tears fell from her face and his.
"A new beginning, Kyle. A new beginning," she said thoughtfully.
They left quietly in their dark blue car, the one Kyle and his father chose together. As they drove away, Kyle looked back until the only home he'd ever known was out of sight. They arrived at Aunt Kate's 10 minutes later, where she was waiting to drive Kyle and his mother to the airport. As they drove, Kate said,
"I'm sure going to miss teasing you, Kyle. You sure look like your dad did at your age, with those curly red locks.
"Do you really think that you should be going, Marge?" Kate asked.
"I'm looking forward to it, actually," Marge said. "I just hope that Kyle will like it as much as I did when I lived there."
With eyes rolling, Kyle muttered, "I doubt it." Once they arrived at the airport, Kyle, his aunt and mother carried the luggage and Tingy up to the check-in counter.
"Oh, I'm going to miss you, Kyle,"
his aunt said again, giving him a hug. There were tearful goodbyes between his mother and Aunt Kate, then a long procedure of boarding the cat, and then the wait to go aboard themselves. Most of their luggage and furniture had been sent ahead.
Chapter 2. The Mysterious Stranger and the Marble. Once aboard, they settled into their seats. It wasn't long before their supper came.
"Why don't they serve McDonald's on the plane, Mother?"
"That is because it isn't good for you," she replied.
"Yes, it is,"
he insisted.
"Well, it isn't as good as vegetables and chicken," she said.
"Why don't they serve things like McChicken burgers, then? It's the same thing," he said.
"I'm not going to argue with you, Kyle," Marge said.
After dinner, Kyle decided to play a handheld game he had brought with him.
"Do you want to watch the movie?"
she asked.
"Maybe."
"What's playing?"
"When Harry Met Sally."
"Oh, no way," Kyle replied,
and then continued with his game until he grew tired. He closed his eyes. Now, with his eyes closed, hearing the hum of the airplane engine in the background was all it took to ease him into a deep sleep. With sleep came dreams. Like many other dreams Kyle had in the past, many times before, it seemed so real. Kyle was with his friends, running, laughing, and rolling down the green hills as they had done before, many times. He could see Mark and Perry rolling, rolling and tumbling over him onto the grassy knoll. Kyle heard Mark say,
"Let's go to the graveyard."
"Yeah, okay,"
Perry and Kyle agreed, laughing and tugging at one another. They flew down the hill, running as fast as they could past Fred Saul's place, calling out,
"Old Fred, you are dead."
Fred was the local funeral director, a big, hairy guy. Half a mile down the road, the crosses came into sight. The boys ran even faster. Hearts were pumping as they came to an abrupt stop at the entrance to the graveyard. Each boy set off in a different direction, walking slowly and glancing at the gravestones. 15 minutes later, they emerged silently. Then, once again, they flew down the road and around the corner, past Old Man Zoll's place again, stopping at a grassy knoll.
"How many did you get?"
Perry asked.
12 Ks,
Kyle stated.
11 Gs,
Mark announced.
"Oh, I did better,"
Perry said.
"I have 16 Bs.
"We are the KGB, the very best you'll ever see,"
they sang together, laughing all the while, laughing louder and louder. The laughter started sounding like a woman. Kyle awakened with a start, hearing his mother's laughter as she watched the movie. He lay back again, this time resting his head on his mother's arm, feeling the security of her closeness and drifting off to sleep once more.
"Kyle, it's time to wake up,"
his mother sang softly into his ear.
"No, I'm not going," he called out.
Kyle sat up, startled and embarrassed, realizing he was not in the comfort of his bed, but on the aeroplane.
"We'll be there soon," his mother said.
Safely landed, Kyle scrambled to the first bathroom he could see. His mother insisted on waiting just outside the door.
"Mother, everyone will think I'm a sissy,
Pretend you don't know me, he said. Okay, I'll pretend while you're in the washroom, but as soon as you come out, you're my son again, she stated.
Good Lord, Kyle sighed.
Once out, Kyle forgot about his embarrassment as he remembered Tingy.
Mother, do you think Tingy is okay?
Oh, I'm sure she is.
We have a 3-hour stopover and must get our baggage and Tingy gathered before we check into another airline, she said.
Looking around, Kyle marvelled at the difference between the airport in San Francisco and the one here in Bombay. There were more people in one place than Kyle had ever seen in his life. Some men were wearing what Kyle thought were dresses or skirts. To Kyle, they all seemed to dress the same. As Kyle stared toward them, they stared back.
Why are the men wearing dresses?
They aren't. It's called a dhoti.
San Francisco had people of all races, but here were many who, to Kyle, seemed to be of one race. Some had scowls on their faces, but the children all seemed to be smiling. Marge and Kyle retrieved their baggage and awaited the cage with Tingy inside.
Here it is, Marge said as she grabbed Tingy's cage.
Tingy meowed loudly. Kyle petted her through the cage, but Tingy didn't seem content.
Maybe she's hungry, Kyle said.
A man who had overheard their conversation came up to them and said in a soft Hindi accent, Do you need some food for your cat? Glancing up, Kyle saw a very tall, dark man dressed in a long-skirted cloth. Kyle was surprised that he spoke English. Marge thanked the gentleman and said that she had some food for Tingy within a closed box in the cage.
Kyle, I will have to take Tingy into the washroom to feed her so that she won't run away.
Oh, it's all right, Mother, I'll feed her.
No, you'd better not. She may escape.
I will take care of her so she won't escape, he insisted.
Well, all right then, but be very careful. We don't want to lose her.
Kyle gathered Tingy in her cage and headed toward the washroom.
I'll be right outside, Marge said.
Kyle took the cage into the corner of the tiny room. Reaching carefully into the cage, he pulled Tingy and her bedding toward him. Tingy meowed and meowed.
What's this? Kyle wondered as he felt something hard in Tingy's bed.
Gathering up the cat and her bedding, he noticed that Tingy was becoming defensive. Kyle pulled out what felt like a woolen cloth, which turned out to be a mitt. Out tumbled the clearest blue marble ever, rolling onto the floor. Tingy ran ferociously toward it, swatting it with her paws. Kyle scrambled after her, calling out, No, Tingy, come here! Just as the washroom door opened. The marble rolled out the door, with Tingy close behind. Kyle then yelled, No! Help! Mother! A large hand swept by Kyle's face, then down, swooping Tingy up in the air. With the other hand, the man grabbed the rolling marble. Kyle stood frozen with a startled look on his face, realizing that this was the same man they met earlier.
Here you are, fella,
the man said as he handed the cat over to Kyle.
My name is Hashish. What's yours?
The man said.
My name is Kyle. This is Tingy, my cat.
Kyle's mother appeared at that very moment, apologizing for her son's cat.
Oh, she didn't scratch you, did she?
Marge asked the man.
Oh, no, lady, she sure didn't, he replied.
Mother, guess what was in Tingy's bed?
Kyle said.
I don't know, Kyle. What?
Oh, the most beautiful marble I've ever seen.
Oh, the marble, Marge said.
I'm not sure if you want that round object, the man said.
At that moment, with claws extended, Tingy began to hiss.
But Tingy, what's wrong with you?
Kyle asked.
It's that round object, the marble, the man stated.
Where did it go?
Kyle inquired.
It is right here in my pouch, where it is meant to be, the man insisted.
Could I please have it back?
Kyle asked.
I don't think you need the marble, Kyle, March said. Besides, it has caused quite a bit of trouble already.
I do need it. I really do, Kyle insisted. Please, sir, may I have it back? It is Tingy's. It was in her bedding.
The man gently reached into his pouch and carefully pulled the marble out.
Here it is, then, he said, handing the marble over to Kyle. Good luck with it, he added, looking directly into Kyle's eyes, while clutching Kyle's hands and dropping the marble gently into them.
Marge then thanked the man for helping her son. The man smiled, turned, and started walking away, stopped, turned around, looked toward Kyle's hand and said,
There are four of them.
He then picked up his pace and walked away, disappearing as quietly as he had appeared.